Chesticles, chesticles, 1, 2, 3.
Breasticles, breasticles. New Dissident Radio. On the interweb.
We're hot, you guys. We're hot. Hello and welcome to Ardent Atheists, where reason reigns supreme. Today's episode brought to you by billions of years of evolution. Sitting next to me is my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson.
Hi, everybody.
You know Heather from the Facebooks, on the Intertubes, and as the lead singer of the Penn Jillette No God Band, coming again this year to TAM 2012. You can find links to our guest website, join our Twitter and Facebook feeds, and our email at ardentatheist.com. You can also subscribe to our premium episodes there as well.
If you'd like to take part in a live chat moderated by Joe Swam, go to the Facebook group Ardent Atheist, Wall of Reason, join our group, and chat us up.
And please go to iTunes, subscribe to our podcast, and write a review. Help us get in the top 10.
You can also go to our webpage and subscribe to our premium content.
Yeah, you can subscribe to our premium content. That's exactly right, Heather. It's only $7 for half a year and 10 for an entire year.
Well, that's so cheap, Emery.
You got that part right, Heather. I don't know why everyone doesn't just subscribe right now.
But what does a premium subscription buy them?
Great question, Heather. An extra half hour of hilarious content that you can only hear if you're a premium subscriber.
Why, that's amazing, Emery.
That's exactly what I was thinking in my brain hole, Heather.
We sound like idiots, you know.
Who can take that much great content?
I know. We only have a couple of rules on our show. Rule number one.
Guests may plug anything they want, including our own premium content.
If you're a listener who's ever been offended by anything, get a sledgehammer and destroy your computer now. This show has no restrictions on language or
content.
And certainly has nothing for you, you cheap-ass skinflint who won't pay a mere $10 for our
content.
Premium content. What the?
I came in early. Hey, cut it out.
Uh-huh. She just loves saying cunts.
In the studio tonight, we have Jim Jefferies and Paul Provenza. You know these guys from Showbiz.
Content. From showbiz.
Direct from showbiz. You've never heard that? I've done that gag every time you're here.
You know these guys from such websites as Google?
Yeah.
And? Facebooks.
And the Facebooks with the twit face.
Thank you so much for being here, Provenza.
I hear that you guys have like a massive number of listeners.
It's kind of crazy, actually.
We're getting there, huh?
Yeah, seriously. It's pretty nutty.
Seriously. And none of them are going to put up $10?
Some will. We've already sold some premium subscriptions.
Believe it or not.
If I were not in the show business, I would be a premium subscriber.
And you are in the show business.
So there's no point in it.
I'll give it to you.
Okay, thanks.
I'll also let you have a free subscription. Hello with the baby.
Wait a second.
You were at Reason
back.
Rally.
Yes, I was.
And that was phenomenal, I understand.
Unbelievable. It was so much fun. It was so cool. It was so not what I expected it to feel like.
What's the matter with you people? Why do you have to bug everybody about what you believe? Why do you have to gather?
Why are you talking
What's
about
wrong
something
with you
don't even believe in? But I also had the great, great pleasure of seeing Jim Jefferies in Melbourne at the Global Atheist Conference.
You really? When was this?
This was just a few weeks ago.
Just
right, Jim?
Sitting there acting like nothing's going on. Jim, you were where?
I was at the Global Atheist Convention in Melbourne, like Paul said.
Oh, nice.
I can't understand you. Can you speak it in English, please?
He's speaking in English. You're just a Negro.
That's unpleasant.
She's very
Maybe
confused.
I'll speak like you. Hi, everybody!
No, that's Matt. That's your impression of Matt.
Oh, that's right. I got to work on yours.
That's an awful impression.
Mary Poppins.
Yes.
And Jim, how are you, Jim?
I'm okay. Yeah. I had a few problems finding the place. I'm sorry, I'm late.
You're not late. We completely played it off like you weren't
late.
Fuck that shit up.
Oh, what difference does it make? People don't understand.
It doesn't matter. Your shirt looks.
What have I done?
Just don't knock that. Into
He's
that.
Letting you know that the camera rolling.
I haven't touched. It's been fine.
Don't touch anything.
No, it was good. It was good. I this has a feel of a place where you'd fuck a hooker. that little motel on the side.
Can
I actually walked past it and I saw like it's the most dingy place ever. There's like a Mercedes parked here and a.
You know, every time Henry comes in, when he sets up, he has to get rid of bloody ski masks.
Was it a shitty motel before it was a...
I don't know what this was.
This
it might well have
is
been.
Too small to be a...
Or it may not have been a motel, but I'm pretty sure it was shitty.
Yeah.
So, it's really a pleasure to have you back on, Jim. It's been a while since you've been here.
Well, thank you.
I'm glad you were able to finally find it.
Last time I was on Talking Shit with Jim Jefferies and Eddie Iff...
Their show.
I almost got killed.
What?
That's when Jason went crazy with a butcher knife.
I want to get Jason on the show with you sometime.
He heard you said that to me once, that Jason could come on the show, and he's very excited. He's never been invited on another podcast.
Invited in public.
He's your Carl Pilkington.
If Jason's listening, it's his 40th birthday today.
Oh, happy birthday, Jason.
And yeah, it's a celebration of achieving nothing in 40 years.
Now, why do you say nothing? As I understand it, the guy is...
He used to be a cult leader.
Well, that's something.
Yeah.
Even Jim Jones succeeded at something.
He exceeded a lot, Jim Jones. But Jim Jones, how many people did he kill?
Jim Jones's record's better than Jason's.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What's Jason's last name?
Auer. A-U-E-R.
A-U-E-R. Auer.
Auer. Which is actually how I say the word hour.
Right?
Hour.
So he's, I've only heard your podcast two or three times.
Right.
And he seems like he's psychotic.
Yeah, he's, he's got chemical problems.
And he
was a homeless guy that slept on the couch for a while, but he's paying rent.
That's a hook these days, right?
He's one of the nicest men you'll ever meet.
Yeah?
And he's actually quite funny. He doesn't always know when he's being funny, but he's very funny.
He can't harness it.
Well, let's get him on next week then.
What are you talking about? What,
without me here or without any?
You say that like it's a risk. There's a danger.
You need handlers.
I would love to listen to that. I will sort that out. He will be here next year.
I want him here next week. If you're listening, I want you on next week.
Just hide all sharp objects.
Yeah, he can't. Do we need to frisk him?
No, he doesn't. He's not harmful, I don't think.
Yeah. Provenza thinks he almost died when he was on your show.
He decided to stab an airbed that we were sitting on because Eddie hadn't got new furniture and we were teasing him, so he went and got a knife and stabbed his airbed. It was his airbed.
Yeah. Why would you do that?
That's the really funny thing.
You just have to make yourself miserable.
Yeah.
He's not really particularly gifted at handling knives, so they were just kind of flying around real close to everybody's eyes.
Good God.
Imagine Chris Farley without the grace.
Okay. But he didn't die of drug abuse.
Not yet.
Right.
Not yet. He's only 40. He's got plenty of time. But I think that's the thing with drugs. I think if they're going to get you, they're going to get you sort of before 40. Like Whitney Houston.
I've never heard this mathematics.
Whitney Houston was an exception to the rule. How old was she? Like 42 or something?
Was she 42?
I don't know.
She was late 30s. Wall of reason. How old was Whitney Houston?
Are you saying it's just cooler to die of drugs before you're 40 and then afterwards it's a little pathetic?
No, I'm just thinking that you actually put the brakes on it a bit when you get older.
Yeah.
Because you do have that thing. When you're young, you think...
I got to put the brakes on chocolate. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but that's something you indulge until you die because it's such a gradual... But the drugs, it's like you can actually... The older you get, like when you used to take coke and you used to go... I used to remember going, fucking hell, my heart's going quick. Right? Yeah. And now when I take coke, I'm like, oh, my heart's going quick.
Yeah.
You know, and that's
there are other drugs than that.
I better not have that fifth line.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, do you do a lot of the drugs or
not anymore?
You've kind of slowed down a bit.
I've taken my fair share.
Yeah,
yeah, but I don't. The occasional line here and there, but nothing drastic. I never had a problem with drugs, really.
Yeah,
and a lot of my friends did, but I've taken a lot of drugs.
I had a short run with the cocaine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did it maybe 5, 10 times, 30, 60. I don't know how many, but no, honestly, it was honestly 5 or 10, honestly.
That's nothing.
Nothing. And it was all spread out over a couple of hours.
I've never done cocaine ever in my life.
I was still really?
The last thing I need is something to make me more anxious and
jumpy.
Well,
that's kind of how
I was still preach this day because I'm a blackout drunk. If you can take just two lines of coke, it's a good thing for you.
That's
if
how
you
I
can
am.
Just take two.
Well, the thing happened to me.
Thank you.
I started having allergic reactions to it.
Your nose was all blocked up.
Well, yeah, no, I was like Felix Unger.
Did you have to have like an epinephrine pen when you went out for a night?
It's like when you meet these people who go, I'm allergic to alcohol. No, you're just a quick drunk.
No, it was an allergy. It was an allergic reaction, and that I'm allergic to smoke bullshit is bullshit. But I remember, Prevenz, we were cutting the Aristocrats, and I had a weekend, and then we got back together on a Monday, I had a trash can sitting next to me, and I was blowing my nose all fucking day.
You had done coke that weekend?
The night before, I had done some cocaine. That was the first time it blew up on me like this. I was sick as a fucking dog.
But that's a drug hangover.
No, it's not. I've had drug hangovers.
Can you get high with shellfish?
Yeah, sure. No, I can't get high with shellfish. I wish. That would be great. But
Here's the deal. I spent 2 days recovering from that, and then the same girl that I used to get together and we'd snort coke off each other once in a while, we got together a month later.
So
same,
that really actually happens? The only reason why men do coke is it snorted off women's butts or
no,
something?
No, in this particular
case. No,
that's
ridiculous. Anyone who says this snorted off some girl's tit. Coke is a, if it gets near any moisture whatsoever, yeah, it's done.
Well,
it gets all claggy.
You're dry as fuck.
They put it under hot lamps until it crystallizes. You don't want to put it on someone's sweaty fucking
You know, you're
body.
Licking. You're licking up half of it. No question about that when you do it. But same reaction. I had the same reaction. And then I went, okay, I'm done doing coke.
Maybe you just needed a different girl.
I love mushrooms, but I...
See, mushrooms are the ones that I'll never give up. I'll take mushrooms until I'm 80.
Yeah, I would.
But only twice a year.
They give you a constipation. When you get older, you don't want to do them.
But do you also sense a big difference between doing the chemicals and doing something like mushrooms or weed?
Oh, a huge difference.
Yeah.
I don't get in the panic of my heart speeding up. I don't worry about that I'm starting to sweat or whatever. I might dry retch a little bit on mushrooms for like 10 minutes in the beginning of it, and then it all kicks in fine. But
right,
but it's like it becomes immediately apparent that there's no way these two should be classed in the same division as drugs go.
Right, I've done acid twice. I'm not a big acid guy, but mushrooms I love.
Yeah, acid's too much of a time commitment for me. I mean, there comes a point when you're into tomorrow so deeply that you're like, I am stuck this way.
My very first acid trip was the best and will all be the best I ever had.
Really?
Yeah, it was the best. I was basically too young to be having acid, and I had a manager. He was my music manager, and he was a little creepy to me, but I, you know, just went with
it.
How
old are we talking?
I think I just turned 17 or something like
that. Oh, that's not too young.
For me, I was an innocent little Christian girl.
Who had a music manager.
Yeah. Well,
she was on. Hey,
man, there's big money in that Christian shit.
I was the co-host
Christian
of
music.
A television show at 16.
Yeah,
so,
she was on.
And what was the TV show?
Dance USA? He doesn't remember.
Why would I
How old are
that?
You?
I'm more importantly, I'm Australian.
Yeah.
Well, that's right.
You
would never know the show. This
Australian
is
equals about 8 years old.
One of those kids' teen dance shows called Dance Party USA was nationwide.
Dance Party USA.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't watch that.
Yeah, I didn't either. But I was on it. And then the episode with New Kids on the Block, I opted to stay home because I didn't want to be there for that. Crazy.
Really?
Because
they would have gotten you. They would have gotten you all kinds of acid.
Right.
Everyone fucking was there. But anyway,
I opened for New Kids on the Block once.
Get out of here
for real.
In an
elementary school. In an elementary school in Michigan somewhere.
I once fingered a kid on my block.
And he was new to you.
Hey, I'm not weird, Paul.
But wait a second. So finish this, this story here.
So my manager was trying to, he was like, I'm going to let you in on how music was in the 60s and the 70s. And I want to show you how that, you know, the trippy music worked and everything. I was like, all right, fine. So we're going to take this acid and you're going to lay in this bed in this room by yourself. He put two basement speakers up by my ears and then played 5 hours of music at me. And I listened to, like, you know, all the trip music, Jimi Hendrix, Dark Side of the Moon, and even he played Janet Jackson Rhythm Nation, which is a fucking trip from beginning to end. Believe it or not, it was made to be a trip for acid users.
Why was it made to be a trip for acid users?
It's got all this kinds of subliminal messages throughout it and stuff like that.
So you're saying Janet Jackson was into acid?
Well, she was definitely into that sound for that album.
Oh.
Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis probably put her in a room with two speakers by her head, made her have acid, and then wrote the album.
The record was produced by Owlsley.
So the record that we were producing had each letter of each song spelled out something. So we were trying to spell out All Day I Dream of Yes. And we were trying to write songs to fit into this thing, and it never got finished.
Yeah, you shouldn't do it again. You shouldn't do it again. it's really cutting
but
into your
productive
time.
But it was the best trip I ever had. It was the best time I ever had. And after it was done,
it was a very cliche trip.
I walked around outside and was like, the colors, and then went home.
I can't go outside when I'm tripping on mushrooms.
I love it.
Oh, I go for wonders, yeah. I go for little walks.
I like going to a really shitty show when I'm on mushrooms and just enjoying the shit out of it.
The problem is that I get that paranoia of everyone knows.
Yeah.
It's justified because everyone does know.
You can't not know absolutely when a guy's completely tripping balls.
Well,
you have to know.
If smiling like you have a shit-eating grin is being able to tell, then
it's
yes,
true. You could just
tell.
Be an idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I've only done mushroom a handful of times, but I like them. But none of that other stuff, acid, coke, I couldn't handle it.
They change your perspective for life. I believe that's true.
That's true about mushrooms.
For the better,
for sure.
In my opinion, most of the time.
I think you could start to understand why it became the central focus of a religious
It's got
tradition.
A spiritual quality to it. Yeah. The best description.
I mean, I had the really weird thing happen to me. I ended up on Venice Beach lying on the rock jetty that juts out into the ocean.
There is
upside
no
down.
Rock jetty.
There is not anymore. I was upside down, so the sea was the sky, and the sky was the sea. And I actually saw birds flying out of the water with people who were issues in my life in its talons. Like it just created this narrative of, oh, I just got to cut this shit loose, you know? And like all that weird stuff, that introspective stuff that happens to people.
Right.
Mm. What type of fish did I swim with?
You were brought in. You were brought in as an emergency.
I want to be in your talons.
Your face was the setting sun. That's what that was. I haven't yet asked. I know that you're an atheist. I presume you're an atheist.
Sure.
And your comedy, you're one of the bold guys who talks on stage about the fact that there's no fucking God. And it's pretty beautiful.
More importantly, he talks about the fact that anybody who believes there's a God is a moron. That's the really funny part.
That's a bit more adventurous, I guess. it's where my girlfriend's comes. She comes from seven kids.
It's a weird sentence.
She's in a family of seven.
That makes more sense.
And she's the only one who's not religious, and the rest of her family aren't just religious, they're extraordinarily religious.
Oh, that's not good.
Like, they believe in a Catholicism that is not... The modern-day Pope is too...
Too liberal.
Uh-huh. They believe in a pope from a couple of hundred years ago, a couple of thousand years ago.
Like they would prefer mass to still be in Latin.
Yeah, exactly. All that type of stuff. And they have to have a special church. And when she was young, they didn't even have a church for it. But they used to come and do church in their living room with a few of their friends who were into it. She wasn't allowed to show above her ankles or her wrists. So
where'd she grow up?
Just outside of Vancouver.
Holy shit.
Anyway, so the point is, so now she's involved with me. Obviously, family members have Googled me and seen what I do. And so she's been getting a lot of flack for going out with me. They've never met me. But she, one of them said that...
They're upset she's not gay.
Yeah.
They prefer that, I think.
Yeah. They're saying it's very obvious to us that he's doing this to make money. And this is
because it's that big non-religious market.
Yeah, exactly. 93% of Americans believe in a God, and I'm trying to get famous of 7% of the fucking population, and I'm the opportunist.
Yeah, me. Yeah. Right. Hold on, we're going to come back to that right after this break. You're listening to Ardent Atheist on Dissident Radio, and available on the iTunes Store. We're about to launch our new... No, we've launched our new premium service. That's exactly right. And we want to know what you think. So give us an email. Drop us an email at emery@ardentatheist.com. You can subscribe to our premium service by going to ardentatheist.com/premium. And there's a button there. You can give us $7 for half a year, $10 for a year. What you get for that is you get the extra half hour that we record beyond the 1 hour that you're listening to live or free on iTunes right now. It's only $10 a year to listen to what we say after you can't hear us anymore.
That's practically worth it.
Now back to Ardent Atheist nonsense you can believe in, a line written and emailed to me by Paul Provenza. We're talking with Paul Provenza and Jim Jeffries. Again, thanks for being here, guys.
He's our hero.
So was she an atheist when she met you?
She said she never believed, really. I think it's because it was forced so far down her throat that she never really believed in God.
Right.
I believed in God till I was about 20. No, until I was about 15 was like the big thing. So yeah. I've been 20 years an atheist now, but I'm getting more liberal with it as time goes by. I don't care as much.
What was it? Provenza, you'll probably be able to remember what was said. It was Martin Mull on The Green Room.
He said,
what was his sentence? It was really amazing.
He said, I've been an atheist most of my life, but as I'm getting older now and as I head towards my 70s, I'm moving closer to agnosticism.
he said I'm an agnostic, which Penn said it breaks my heart.
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah, an agnostic's just an atheist in his 70s. I think that's how he put it?
Something like that, yeah.
God damn.
Yeah, I don't like agnostics. I find them to be weak.
Well, first of all, First of all,
pick a fucking side. Well, I prefer Christians to agnostics.
I disagree. I dated one for a long time, Lubna. She was an agnostic and always arguing that I was some sort of an asshole for taking this position. I realized finally, at one point I realized, you've taken a position too.
Well, the agnostic atheist debate is actually, I call it semantics.
I think it is semantics because
you either believe or you don't. If you're not sure, then you don't believe. So well, therefore,
yeah,
you're
think
an
the,
atheist.
The people who say they're not sure if there is a heaven and a hell, they're going to hell anyway because they didn't commit. But it's just like that. I don't know. There might be something. There's nothing.
But there might be
fucking nothing. But if you believe there's something, you're a moron.
It's not really. I usually don't hear there might be something. That's not usually what agnostics say. What I'm used to hearing is we can't know. You don't know. How do you know?
Right, right.
And I'm not saying I know. And they're pretending like they're taking some higher ground when in fact,
but you can,
right.
That's as firm a position as the fundamentalist or the atheist. I can
see your point. I agree. We don't know. I always say, well, we don't know in the same sense of the word know that the sun is going to rise tomorrow.
Right.
But it's a pretty safe bet
because God wills it to.
Because God wills it to.
I also see this whole thing of you don't know. There's things that we do know. We can prove that the Bible's bullshit, right? We can prove that that's not the word of God and that it's just moronic. And even just with simple jokes, you can pick it to bits and it just falls
Every
down.
Well-defined religion is easily disproven.
Easily disproven.
Always.
Now, the only thing you can't argue, you can never argue the full point that there's nothing and we weren't created by a bigger being. Or something. I hate when they go, when you use the Big Bang Theory and they go, well, what, there had to be something before the Big Bang. And they give up on their 7 days being made in 7 day
right.
bullshit. And
all of
a sudden, they jump on board and go, it was 7 eras. And and God created the Big Bang. And then you go, well, who created him then? We can do this whole fucking day.
Well, no, he was eternal.
If you're able If you're able to say that God is eternal, then jump forward where we know the universe exists and say, the universe is eternal. That's all you need to do. I mean, it's the same mathematics there, if that's what you want to do.
I don't think math's involved at all.
No, it's a lot of guesswork.
But here's
an
interesting thing to me, because Jim, you know, you're from Australia, where it's the most atheist country
on Earth. Where no one really gives a shit about God.
So, there's a turn
so
going
when
lately,
you,
though.
When you were in Australia, did material about that stuff matter to you at all?
I
or was that
it.
Only when you realized there were other countries where it
when
mattered?
When I go to Australia, I don't do as many religious routines as I say would in the UK. Well, here, in saying that the UK like the jokes, they never get angry about them because most UK people are pretty laxed about their religion
if they are
religious. In Australia, our prime minister's an atheist. And she's just like, oh, no, of course there's no God. You know, like.
You really?
And I don't think there could be a president who is an atheist in this country because they just wouldn't get voted in.
There will be eventually. Because
there has been.
20 years. There has been.
There has been, but no one's admitted it.
That's what I think, too.
We're getting closer. Obama just...
20 years ago, we couldn't possibly have had a black president.
Made an announcement that he believes that gays should have...
Now the problem is finding a black atheist.
A blatheist?
A blatheist. Yeah, let's not try and force too much down Americans' throats at once.
Seriously.
Let's get a Mexican
president. A gay black atheist.
A gay black atheist.
Yeah.
Blagatheist.
Old Gacky.
Yeah, we're not going to have that in our
lifetime. See, I think Clinton would have been... Clinton's too smart a guy. No matter what you think of his political thing, he's a smart guy.
You think he was an atheist?
Of course he is.
Yeah.
He's got to play the game. Huh?
There is
a lot of people think
that, world.
And I think this isn't true. This isn't my opinion, but a lot of people think that... that Obama is an atheist.
But he's had some religious pictures of him, some muzzied up pictures when he was younger and stuff. I think he's dabbled in religion when he was younger, and I think now he's come out the other side. I think he's probably an atheist as well.
He's too much of a rationalist.
Yeah,
there are skeptics who believe in God and believe in something.
Yeah,
but you know,
but they're
fucking
morons, aren't they?
But then you get into that territory of, well, I don't believe in any religion. I don't believe in the God of the Bible, but I believe there's something. And you go, well, yeah, that's what I believe in too. It's here, it's everywhere.
Well, the next religion to come along will be that spiritual bullshit that we're hearing from, you know.
I tell you when I'll believe in God. I don't need to see God. I don't need to see him come down from the heavens or anything like that. All I want is for some alien contact one day. Right, some alien spaceship to come down, and I'm not even going to be amazed by them. But if they have the same God as us, I'm fucking in.
Right.
I mean,
you know,
there's a good chance they could become gods.
Yeah.
If a god actually existed, don't you think every single person on the planet would know?
Yeah, no, this is the whole thing. Every your religion's depicted by which country you were born in.
Right.
Right.
And that's God.
That's all you need to know. If you step back, look at the global situation, it becomes immediately obvious it's all inheritance.
Yeah.
You can't go, look,
all the Muslims are going to die because they're stupid and they were born in the desert, where our smart white people were here and we had this one, and they're all thinking, those stupid white people, it's just never going to work out. And the fact is that you get races like the Aboriginals in Australia who just had the most bullshit religion ever. They had the most bullshit religion ever when they were found. It was like so basic that even Aboriginals now sort of go, oh, yeah, it's not a good one.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like the Aboriginal religion didn't really involve gods. It involved a thing called the dream time. And the dream time is basically just mythological stories about how shit was created.
But didn't they also have their own hallucinogens as well? The rituals, which all sort of feed into that.
Carver and stuff like that and stuff. So I'll give you an exact story from the dream time, which wasn't written down anywhere, was only passed on through generations, because they were still hunters and gatherers. They didn't even have farming or the written word or anything when they were found. You'll go, where was this river from? The Murray River, the big river in Australia.
Right.
And they'll go, oh, there was this, it was a frog, right? And this is an exact story. I'm not making this up. The frog was like really thirsty and drank a lot of water, and then it drank too much water.
It's pissed.
And it vomited, and that's where the river came from.
It's like a lot of the Chinese myths.
It's just fucking, it's lazy storytelling, first of all.
It's not been fact-checked.
Not enough to, how did the kangaroo got its tail? Oh, well, what happened was they used to just stand there and just move very slowly, and the hunters could get them really easily. And then there was this one kangaroo that was slightly faster than all the other ones that just stood there. So a hunter threw a spear at him. That landed in his ass, and then skin grew over that, and then he had a tail, and that's how – and he could
and
run.
And a tail.
And that's how kangaroos got
tails. It's like Aesop's fables. It's like
– right. It reminds me of rabbit in the hair or rabbit in the
– yeah, it's all
hair
that
in the turtle
stuff.
Or whatever the hell that
is. And we had to learn in school for cultural reasons, and I kind of get that.
Right.
Because you got to learn about where your country's from, that type of stuff.
You got to learn about the people that you displaced. Yeah. So that
but, you know,
you
that does bring
it.
Up another thing that's really
frustrating. I didn't
frustrating,
have to learn much about
it,
Indians.
Is that – yeah, well, that's because it's America. But plus, it happened like last week in Australia.
But it is a relatively new.
It is,
yeah.
But
but we don't. At least we don't have that facade of Thanksgiving where you guys are like, we had a lovely meal with them. What happened the next week?
We gave them blankets.
What happened was, yes, that's right. The white people went, listen, we got some cold cuts left over and these blankets. Take them, please. We can't use them all.
Two things on the wall. They're arguing about what religion Obama is, whether he's an atheist.
He's not an atheist.
Or a Christian or a Muslim.
Right.
Well, who thinks he's a fucking Muslim is a fucking moron.
Okay.
You're an idiot.
Okay.
If you're on my wall and you think he's a Muslim, fuck you.
Inshallah.
Rape your face next time I see you.
Yeah, inshallah.
Don't you talk inshallah. That way about Barack Hussein Obama.
Whitney Houston is 48. Was 48.
48. Oh, 48. Was 48 and a shit swimmer.
Yeah,
but I think
I was
everything
upset
you need to
when
know,
she died because every, I thought she was already dead. So.
You're like, damn it, I thought.
I went, that's two times for me. You people don't know the pain.
She's in a better place.
Obviously.
I think all religions basically are cargo religions.
You know about cargo cults, right, Jim?
I know about cargo pants.
Cargo cults are very similar to cargo pants in that they're bullshit. Cargo cults sprung up, jump in, Provenz, if I get anything wrong here, sprung up after the war when these indigenous people who didn't have contact with, and it's happened numerous occasions, as many as like 30.
We're talking about Indonesia, New Guinea, we're talking about...
Over in the South Pacific Rim and
where
all
there
this.
Were a lot of primitive
island
tribes.
Primitive tribes saw these guys come in, take over their island, build these... air landing strips, put up these things where they put on the headphones and
technology
rolls in, and all of a sudden planes are going over and dropping manna, air quotes, from the sky down to these soldiers, and then all of a sudden, boom, the war's over, bomb, they're gone. It's all over. planes aren't coming anymore. There's no food and there's no stuff being dropped. They never saw anybody making food. They never saw anybody growing food. They never saw anybody making their uniforms. They saw them come out of these cargo boxes that were dropped from planes. Now, jump forward. These people have developed a fucking religion where they take and they carve headphones out of coconuts, and they build out of bamboo these landing strips.
It's Gilligan's Island, basically.
It is. It's completely Gilligan's Island.
Planes, and they sit
right
and worship.
Back
and they're praying that these gods, these big planes, will deliver them these goods.
Here's the thing, though. 30 plus times this has happened independently. They'll be back. They will definitely be back.
Eventually, the second coming will occur. Have you heard of this?
No, it's fascinating. Though. What type of places in the world are we talking about?
We're talking about the South Pacific.
This is this whole idea of like when you meet some American fucking 19-year-old chick who should be enjoying her life, going, I'm going to become a missionary down in Butterbutt. And it's like, if you have to travel in a plane to a place to tell them about your God, then it's just not plausible, because they should already know about your God if he's almighty and all great. He should have gotten his fucking message out there himself.
Right.
Let alone the whole... What's happened?
Nothing. Keep talking.
The whole premise... Wait a minute. Is there a plane going over the top?
No plane.
No one can hear
the
plane.
No cargo cults.
Oh.
No confusion whatsoever.
Something's going on.
Just keep talking.
Hope it's one of ours.
We're just resetting the camera.
If there is a God, which one would you enjoy? Which one would you like to have?
None of them. The Christian God.
No, you have to
one
have one. You have to have one.
You want me to pick one?
I'd take Buddha.
Well, Buddha's all right with me. Now, a lot of people say that's not a God. It's a philosophy.
That's you're Americans and you're into fat cunts.
Well, come on. Let's.
He's just seen his face.
Debunk that bullshit. I mean, is it religion?
Buddhism is religion. I don't know if Buddha is...
Well, hang on a second, because Buddhism means a lot of different things. You know, there's a different Buddhism in Japan than there is in China. Parts of China have many different kinds of Buddhism. Vietnam has a different Buddhism. They're actually really... Some of them are. Then you're proving it's a fucking religion.
The ones that believe in reincarnation, anything that has an afterlife is a fucking religion.
Right.
Okay, well, there you go.
What about those people who believe that marijuana is a religion?
Name me... It doesn't have an afterlife. Not a religion.
You don't need one.
Name me one religion that doesn't have an afterlife. Because there should be. See, if God created the whole world and he came down and he said, love me, cherish me, praise me. I just created this wonderful world for you. But there's no afterlife, but enjoy this. Would people still go to church? And the answer is fucking no.
Right. Well, I say this. We have the technology. If we terraform another planet, say Mars, which probably isn't the run, but let's say Mars for discussion's sake, we terraform it, and we don't even put life there as we are now. Well, let's just say we just plant the seeds of life as an evolutionary experiment, which I think is a great idea. So we put on it bacteria and other forms of microscopic life.
We're lucky enough for millennia.
Well, we're lucky enough to live for another couple billion years, let's say, for example, just for the sake of discussion. And let's
I want
say,
to be there at the end, though.
I'd love
the world to end. I wouldn't feel a sense of panic or anything. If we all went at once, meteorite coming down, fucking...
I'm
with you on this.
I can't wait for some sort of an apocalypse. I can't wait.
I don't feel sorry for anyone. If we all go at once, fucking enjoyed the ride.
I can't wait till 2013 when, you know, all the people thinking that the world's going to end
in December
2012.
I want
2013 to come so that all those people can shut the fuck
up. But they never do. They just switch to another pile of bullshit.
We've got smarter smarter people and a lot more atheists. To shove it in their face.
Yeah. The atheism movement is a good thing, I think.
Hey, Emery, will you check? Do you know the religion Jainism?
Yeah, I know about Jainism.
Jainism.
Isn't it the
original?
Will you
look it up? Will you see if there an afterlife in Jainism?
That's a good question.
Yeah, I'd like to find one without an afterlife.
Kids on the wall.
What about somebody on the wall will look it up?
You need the reward to go to church. You need the thing to give the money. You need the guilt. You need the.
Right. You got to sell them the Polaroid so they come back and buy the film.
Yeah, you need the little present at the end.
What about a religion? Well, now listen, I want to get back because I'm going to get emails on this fucking discussion if I don't get back to the philosophy versus religion thing on Buddhism. People say there's no God in it, and therefore it's not a religion. Now, you've done an interesting thing, and I've never seen it done before, and I shouldn't be surprised. You're brilliant. You've just said, is there an afterlife? Then it's a fucking religion. So you're claiming that. that it is a religion because of that. What about the no God thing? Does that help you at all? Does that make, is that one of the reasons that you go, I'm okay with that?
I don't know. Wait a minute. Does Buddhism have a reincarnation aspect? Or is that, that's Hinduism?
It's all about reincarnation, Buddhism, isn't it?
It's all about that.
That's Hinduism.
No, no, no. Well, fuck me. God, I need a Buddhist in here.
They're all the same, Paul.
I just want to know which door I'm supposed to be at.
Yeah, as soon as you start making them individuals, you give them a face. That's how Hitler would have stopped. You can't go along like that. You got to commit.
How about we judge these religions on their food? Hinduism's not so bad. I like Hinduism. I don't know what Buddhists taste like.
Baptists have great food.
Sikh are the ones that don't eat beef. That's retarded. Yeah. Any of the vegetarian ones are silly.
Yeah. You're a meat eater.
Yeah, I fucking, if it was good enough for Jesus. I always like side with Jesus when it suits me. Like if I'm drunk, I'm like, Jesus used to drink.
Jesus hung out with a hooker.
Yeah, Jesus hung out with a hooker. Anything that Jesus did where I can work him into the good bit of my life.
Well, it's possible Jesus didn't even exist, you know.
It's probable.
It's probable he didn't exist.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We have a lot of evidence that suggests that he's just an amalgamation of a bunch of other previously invented deities.
Yes,
right.
That's what I think.
Well, we know that. We know the reincarnation story, the Genesis story, all that stuff. We it's just recycled.
Are you aware that in Genesis God created mankind, then he created Adam and Eve?
I'm not aware of that.
That's exactly how it fucking reads. And the way they escape it, I think they claim that the two stories need to be looked at together. I mean, they bend over the fucking intellectual calisthenics.
They've changed the wording in the Bible several times, haven't they, over the course of...
Yes, and yeah, then there was the Council of Nicaea that determined that all these Gospels that had been in use for countless hundreds of years...
Abraham, after he didn't give his son to God, you know, the one that was meant to go up the hill?
Yeah.
Didn't, like, the next day, didn't he go, like, fuck his daughter?
You know what? I love the idea. Hold on, Provenza. I love the idea of going, let's come back to fuck his daughter after this break. You're listening to Ardent Atheist on New Dissident Radio and available on the iTunes store.
Oh, bad timing. We want to talk to everyone about Camp Quest. Camp Quest is a secular summer camp. Yeah, kids. For kids from 18... I'm sorry. See, you fucked me up. It's a secular summer camp for kids from 8 to 17, and they've got camps all over the U.S. They have your traditional camp activities like archery, hiking, and crafts, but they add games that promote critical thinking, humanism, and free thought. If you have kids, you should send them to Camp Quest this July. Camp Quest could also use your help because there are families who cannot afford to send their kids. So visit tinyurl, that's tinyurl.com, /ardent camp.
You got that one. Nice.
Shut up. To learn more and help out the underprivileged free thinkers of a tomorrow.
That's right. Visit tinyurl.com/ardent camp. I checked in the other day to see if any of our listeners had gone to that link to check out to see what they could do. Zero. One fucking person, and we've been doing this for a couple of months now. So fuck all of you if you're not going to go give.
Hey.
Sorry. That's not how you do it?
No.
And now back to Ardent Atheist. Nonsense you can believe in. We're talking with Jim Jeffries and Paul Provenza. And I think the last sentence was, Jim, where were we?
I heard somewhere, I haven't read it. I'm not going to lie to you and say I've read the story. But I heard after Abraham took his son up the hill, and that was always one of those God ones where God was like, kill your kid. I'm kidding.
Yeah, I was just screwing with you.
Yeah, yeah.
It was the original bait and switch.
Yeah, it's the whole, I love you no matter what. But, and then I heard, like, to celebrate, he went down and fucked his daughter or something.
I didn't know this.
Check on that.
Somebody on the wall. Did Abraham, to celebrate the fact that he didn't have to kill his son, go down and sleep with his daughter?
Now, the reason I'm asking this is I haven't killed my son.
Yet.
Yeah. I don't even have one.
But now you want to have one just to kill him.
Yes,
legally.
So I can fuck my future daughter.
Well, first you
want to
snip the tip of his penis off.
So I can fuck my future daughter, he said. We're not walking on that punchline.
There's the Lot story where...
You're talking about Job? No.
I'm talking about this Lot story where all these travelers came to his home, and supposedly as an
let
early
us
Christian.
In. We want to. Yeah.
Well, we're
the emissions of donkeys.
Well, the thing is that they're supposed to be invited in. They're supposed to be entertained, and that includes sleeping with the host
their daughters.
The two angels that came down, and they wanted to rape the angels.
That's right.
And
that's
he's like, "Don't rape my angels. Yes. Have my daughter and my concubine or whatever."
Yes, but you know, there's all this
don't rape my angels.
there's all these references to, you know, hospitality and travelers and all that sort of stuff.
Oh,
and the mode of the day was, sure, help yourself. Have a snack. Get yourself something to drink. Fuck my kids.
See,
the Muslims are a little like that still, aren't they?
Modern day isn't as good as it was.
Yeah.
I have a great,
those were the days.
I have a great question. This wasn't on the wall, but it was somewhere else on Facebook I saw. If God was invented by humans, then why do so many biblical stories involve his punishment of humans that went astray? Wouldn't humans rather create a God that allows them to get away with whatever they want?
If I was,
not the
if
ones
I was,
that want to scare the shit out of you,
I,
so you
exactly
keep
right.
giving them money.
Right. If I was created by my parents, why do I want to punch them so much?
Because you're evil.
See what I mean?
Like, I gotta say, I don't even believe your parents exist. I've never seen them.
No,
I don't have any reason to believe you.
What's your? If you got Google Maps, you can see my mom real quick.
Really?
She's a big girl.
I'm on it.
and they make her sleep in the backyard.
When she sits around the house.
What's your favorite family story? Like the one that makes most people go, I don't believe this, while they're gasping.
My favorite family story is probably the Gunter story. It's the most quoted one because it's simple and it's succinct. But my story, not like stand-up story, like an actual story about
just
my family.
Just a great story because I've only heard the few stand-up pieces.
Well, most of them involve me being beaten, like a lot, right? I don't know if I want to tell one of those
Were
stories.
You molested?
No wonder you talk like that.
Not by my parents.
No, I mean by anybody as a kid. Did you suffer that wrath?
There was a scoutmaster in an incident, and, you know.
How did he fare?
Well, he doesn't call anymore.
That's a shame.
I was never molested by anybody in the church. I went to Catholic school and everything. And let me tell you, that fucks with a kid's self-esteem.
Yeah, it does.
Seriously.
You became a good-looking adult. I was a good-looking child.
My uncle fucked me for 9 solid years. Well, not solid years.
Again, we have to talk about this.
Wait, Jim, do you know this line? Tell Jim my favorite line of yours.
That's the worst setup I've ever seen.
It doesn't matter. These people are all on the inside. The people that listen.
The listeners all know this joke. My uncle, he started molesting me at 5, and it went until I was 14. It was 9 years. Longest relationship I've ever been in. I will never forget the night he dumped me.
And do you still? Are you still on? Okay, sorry.
I never forget the night he dumped me. He came into my room, woke me up at 3 a.m. and said, "I think we should see other relatives." Started fucking my sister. My sister stole my uncle. We had other uncles. Why did she take mine?
That's jealous. The bit.
There you go.
Jealous.
And have you forgiven your uncle? Do you talk to him at all now?
He's a worthless piece of shit, right wing asshole. So for that reason, I don't talk to him. But I did for a while. I talked to him for a while, and
he
asked for apology.
Was he a good fuck?
He made me come a lot. I don't have any complaints about what
that's
happened.
Not worth
as a
nothing.
Kid. No, I got a good tight couple of jokes out of it.
Did he ever serve time?
No, at all.
Aren't you worried that he'll do it to someone else?
I am not, actually. I'm not. And I went through this a lot, talking to family members who were in touch with his children to find out if it was continuing, and we have no reason to believe that it continued beyond
my friend, my sister, and me.
But how can you think that? Why would it not continue beyond your sister and you? Like,
who does the joke in London about this? There's an English comic who does the only way to solve this.
Oh, it's Simon Munnery.
Simon Munnery is the one that says we got to kill the victim.
Yes,
because I don't buy into that hysteria. If you will, Jim, because it demonizes the victim to say that's where that comes from.
Well, the legacy problem. Yeah.
First of all, I'm victimized by it. By when people find out I molested, they immediately wonder that I'm going to molest.
Yeah, I don't like that. Yeah, yeah.
The same thing goes the other direction about if someone molested, statistics say they're probably going to just have a molest. You know. Unless there's proof, I just don't like to go down that road. And I just don't see any indication that my uncle was molesting other people besides my sister and I. I think also it's important to say.
I think he had his hands full.
I'm polyamorous. It's hard to have more than two.
Was this on your mother's or father's side?
I believe Chester, my molester, is in jail right now.
And your mother's. Oh, really? And how does your mother feel about this? Is she still in contact with him?
Horrified, but she's still in contact. She's got this kind of awful relationship.
My parents haven't. My auntie and my mother haven't talked for 5 years because one of them called the other one fat.
All right, Mom, are you listening? My mom listened to this show.
It doesn't matter that, you know, her husband may have fucked her sister's kids.
And the thing is, they're both fat.
Yeah.
It's like, this wasn't even a problem. It's yeah. It's not like your mom started fucking his kids just to make it even.
Right. I don't know. My mom has a lot of issues that she's been working through. She's now an atheist. She's come out of this. She's out of the fog and in this wonderful, bright, really, really clear place now. Mm. And it's nice. And she's kind of stopped having a lot of interaction with Toby, the uncle, but including her sister. Her sister's a psycho. It's a fucking family of psychos, really. And my mom's got her head screwed on finally in a good way.
He said screwed.
So it's all right. It's all right. The uncle's an idiot. And he's one of those classic white trash Republican, struggling poor. His family keeps popping out the kids and keeps signing up for the fucking food stamps
who
and screaming.
Believe, who
vote
doesn't believe in
for the Republicans?
Taxes.
Right? Exactly. It's so retarded.
Question off the subject. Shall I? Do you guys have you ever believed in spirituality? Were you ever spiritual or anything like that? Did you air quotes?
Yeah,
call
I didn't ask
spiritual?
Jim how yeah, you were yeah, raised yeah. either. Jim, how were you?
I was raised Christian, Church of England, as they call it in Australia.
Christian light.
Yeah, Church of England, pretty easy old one.
There's a lot of good in that, I think. If there's going to be religion and it's prescribed by the state.
I think it's good for kids. I think it's in the same way that you told the boogeyman will get you. I think as a five-year-old, it's good to know that there's good and evil and bad and right and do good things and don't hurt other people and stuff. And
I
will not teach my children this either. But I can see, I also think religion is good for fuckers in prison. I'm all for give them the magic, man. That's what I reckon. Yeah. Every time you see them go, I used to rape, I used to kill, I used to do awful things, now I'm a preacher. Right? That cunt needs the magic, man.
Well,
right?
Well, it kind of makes sense that criminals would go into the religion business. It makes sense on a lot of levels.
Yeah, but I understand what you're saying because it's a
they've got their own tiny little mega churches right
but,
there.
But if the fear of mythology can stop someone from being a cunt, then fine. So it's good for the simple-minded and the whatever, but I don't...
Your argument falls apart when you say in prison, because it didn't. They're now in prison where they can't do any more harm, theoretically.
Oh, no, but there's people who come out and you see them.
But that actually, I think...
I'd like to see
more
a study
to
on that.
Speaks more
it
to
doesn't happen to many people.
Right.
I think most people identify as a particular religion... mostly for community reasons. And that's what happens in prison, too, is you hook up with some group and then you got
true.
People getting your back.
Yeah, so
you
it's know? Either religion or the skinheads, right?
Who would you join?
There's no difference in terms of the dynamic.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. In-group, out-group. Safety,
the skinheads are a religion. They're a religion of sorts.
Yeah, that's my point.
It's
more about being part of something. But, of course, as soon as you're part of something, everything else is other, and you're right back to that same
problem. Aren't you worried that atheism has gotten into a degree now where we've become almost like religious people because we talk about it so much?
That's what people are always
people
saying.
People complain
I
about
punch
that.
Him in the face.
How is that the same as religion?
No, I know, but I sort of feel that part of the privilege of being an atheist is I don't have to think about it.
Johnny Dam, who runs the station, says, on Sundays, I'm not going to church. So if you want me to go to your fucking gathering for atheism, that's why I'm not an atheist. I'm not going. You know what? I'm an activist. I'm not. It's not religious to be opposed to something really awful. It's just not.
Yeah, no, that's a bit. That's the reason why I power on with it as well. I like to talk about it on stage because I feel passionate about that there isn't a God. But I don't think through my comedy I've converted anybody.
I would hope that you wouldn't want to necessarily. You know what I think you've done? I think you've given people a place to go, a solace.
You give people license.
A license to say to other people.
I've given them some funny little tools to bring up in an argument.
Yeah. And you know, the truth is that there's a lot of people who, you know, no matter what we do, we're preaching to the choir
Can we rewrite that fucking phrase?
Preaching to the classroom.
What you do,
molesting
though, is,
to the family.
but what you're doing is you're forgetting that not a lot of people are members of the choir. That there are a lot of people in the audience who, like you say, don't really give enough of a shit to ever have thought about it before. And all of a sudden, you know, they can reframe it to go, you know what, I guess I am an atheist. And that's how you build numbers.
That's why we're building. I don't think we're creating atheists. I think we're pulling people out of the atheism closet by being public. And I think it's a good thing. More after this break about that. You're listening to Ardent Atheist on Dissident Radio and available in the iTunes store. And now, a special announcement.
This is a big super shout out to a few of our listeners: Eric Knight, Kyle Delaney, Cliff Hughes, Matt Robinson, Jesse Settegren, Joseph Swam, Jarrett Lennon Kaufman, Philip May, Herbert Reagan, Shelby Melbourne, Don DiNatale, I think. Mark Nowitzki, Aaron Mayberry, Gerald Hoffman, Kyle Delaney, Adrian Hake, Karen Evisar. These are just a few people. Mike Grimm, Andrew Huber, Brian Lotz, Amanda McAlpin, Randy Thomas, Joe Erbs, Bruce S. Princeton, born in the U.S. Fucking A. Alex Stein, Brad McIntyre, Jarrett Wilt, Rick McJustice, Demetrios Balbalis, and Iman Kals.
Joe Erbs is my favorite.
Joe Erbs. Mm. These were all the people chatting on the Wall of Reason last week. We would not have a great show without you, no matter how your name is mispronounced.
And
thank
Joseph
you.
Swim's really great on my Twitter feed. He's when wonderful. He pops in.
And yeah. Now back to Ardent Atheist nonsense you can believe in. We're talking about Jim Jeffries and Paul Provenza. Thanks again, guys, for being here. Mm-hmm. And I interrupted you, Jim. I'm sorry.
Oh, I don't know what I was going to say. I was listening to a lot of names. And...
It's a lot of names.
We like to encourage people to come listen live. It makes a big difference.
Let's get back to Abraham fucking his daughter, just Abraham. Because I like that. But
oh, my God. Lincoln,
I find out that happened.
My source isn't as reliable as it may be. I've just remembered who told me that.
Oh, shit. Don't tell me it was Jason.
Tom Stade.
You know, Stade isn't...
I don't know.
We were both drunk. You don't know Tom Stade. Brilliant comic, Tom Stade.
Yeah, no, he's fantastic, but I don't know if he knows
it's
a lot
just,
about
that. Listen,
kind of thing.
Jimmy, this is what's going down. When Abraham when Abraham had the daughter was going to get killed. But he didn't kill the daughter, so he went off and he fucked his
he
kids.
He fucked his kids.
He's fucking his kids there, Jimmy.
I was having an argument.
Frighteningly good, Tom Stade.
That was really good. I was having an. We got to get Stade on the show. Is he in L.A. ever?
No, he's in.
No,
he's
I'm
in
just.
London.
He's in Edinburgh. Just Tom with the Ice Prince. She's using my children against me. That's what he says about his wife.
Right. You know, we have Andrew Maxwell coming in to do a pre-record for our new podcast, Skeptically Yours, tomorrow.
I was out with Andrew Maxwell last night. Actually, I had dinner with him. He was as knowledgeable as ever.
He's really amazing.
And he's been doing this stuff for the BBC where he debunks. A whole bunch of conspiracy theorists, 9/11 theorists, all that sort of stuff.
Well, that's why James Inman is flying in from Kansas City specifically to be in this studio.
Well, James Inman should do that to get some fucking airtime.
I'm not really a 9/11 conspiracist. There's only a couple of things about 9/11 where I get a bit conspiracy. And they are, why was there no black boxes? Because I believe the planes hit the buildings and that type of stuff. But why do they fucking just take the black boxes away? And then lie. Just say that we don't want you to hear the recordings. And the passport that flitted down all by itself of one of the guys is a load of bullshit as well.
Yes. Yeah, there's some weird... The weird thing about that is that we mistrust anything that comes from the government so much now that it's plausible. That, you know, we have to actually look at all those theories and debunk them or not because it's conceivable.
Right,
you know, that's the really disturbing thing. The first thing I thought of whenever I heard any of these theories begin to emerge was, well, I wouldn't put it past the bastards.
Well, right. No, I mean, that's why it works. That's why these ideas and these arguments, the anti-vaxxers, the 9/11 shit, the moon landing. Come on, really, Joe Rogan? What the fuck? He's so smart. He's so smart. Mm. And he thinks that we didn't go to the fucking moon.
Wow.
Oh, that's the difference between him and Inman.
What do you mean?
Well, Joe Rogan's smart.
Well, I don't
know.
I'm kidding, Jim.
There's 10% of me that thinks they didn't go to the moon.
You're kind of 10% on
10%
this?
10% on it, yeah.
Why? Have you looked at the evidence?
I believe there's more evidence that they didn't go to the moon than there is that there is a God.
Whoa, you stunned me.
Oh,
I'm standing stunned.
People on the wall are going, wait, what, new podcast? They didn't know this
was coming. I know. I've talked a little about
How
it.
How much are you going to hit them up for on that one, premium?
The premium? Well, for that one, since it's a skeptic cod pat. What the
cod
fuck?
Pat.
See, this is the thing with Andrew Maxwell. Andrew Maxwell, he was talking about the 9/11 thing. He's taking the view that everything we get told is true and that these people are complete loons. And so that's when I was sort of going, so you're saying that everything we heard about 9/11 is true. Everything's completely true.
Right.
I believe that 90% of it's true and 10% of it we were fed to make it all.
God damn it. You're flying out tomorrow morning, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
God damn it. I wish I could get him in here with the Maxwell.
Well, I will never take at 100% anything that the government or any government agency says is the truth. So there's a certain amount of skepticism in that as well. You need to be skeptical on both sides.
I sat down and I sat down with a 9/11 conspiracy theorist who believes wholeheartedly the whole inside job angle, right? And I said, okay, I want you to present the evidence. I'm ready. I've got Google here in front of me. I've got my own faculties. Let's actually have a conversation about it. And we did. We talked at length about it. And line by line, point by point, it was made. This was made. This was, this happened. This happened. And I'll give you a quick example, for example. I'll give you a quick example. She said, I'm an ex-firefighter, so I had a little bit of knowledge to pull on in this particular problem. But she said that the building, when it collapsed, that doesn't make any sense because the beams, the melting point and blah, blah, blah. We all know this bullshit story about the melting point of the structural integrity of this building is way, way, way higher than how hot it all gets when you burn jet fuel, right? That's the claim. It doesn't have to fucking melt. It has to be fatigued. That's all it has to to start the process.
Right.
And you say that to a 9/11 conspiracy theorist, at least in this particular occasion, I said that, and she goes, okay, forget that point. Let's go to this one. Every fucking point that we went down, I gave her reasonable explanations or debunked the bad math that was being utilized.
What about building number 7? Why did it fall? I can't figure that one out. I'm
with you on I can't figure it out. I don't have an answer for that. I do not have an answer. But that's the only thing. It was the only point why building 7 fell 3 or 8 hours later. I can't remember.
Well, and you do have a network of gas pipes and water pipes.
That
all
was
kinds
always
of
that
stuff.
Was my response. At
you
the
know,
time.
I mean, there's a lot going on that a lot of buildings are connected into. So you know, there's that's not out of the realm of possibility for me to just say, yeah, something might have blown up in that building. But I don't even know all the details. All I know is I don't believe anybody.
Well, there are explanations that I've seen about shrapnel making it to that, and it was a slow burn all day, and it finally. That's what I heard, and there are there's footage, but they dismiss it. They when you talk to someone, they just
You should see. Talk to Andrew when you get him up here. Talk to him about the BBC show he did. In fact, see if he can send you a link to it.
That's what he's filming while he's out here.
He's doing one about UFOs this time around. But he already did one on 9/11. Where he put everybody on a bus and they went to experts and you know
did
and
it was basically things.
The show really was all about you know when are people going to let go of their fast held beliefs. That's really what the show's about.
Right.
It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, he might have the filming crew in here tomorrow for the taping too.
That would be great. Then people will believe in you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think
hey, here's a question. Here's an argument about that I
you got
often hear.
You literally have 60 seconds to finish this argument. We're almost out of time for this part of the show.
See how fast
no, you don't, because we're going to do another half hour.
Yeah.
So,
well, here's the thing: is
let's,
that people always
build a cliffhanger.
I've heard this argument made all the time that more people have died in the name of atheism than have died in the name of religion.
This is
first of all,
I
don't
about.
Believe that the math is right on that.
No.
But second of all, what's that about? Is that about Stalin and Hitler?
Yeah.
So is that's not really
but
about
that wasn't
atheism?
In the name of atheism.
Yeah,
he just happened to be an atheist.
Is that the
but
source
Hitler
of
wasn't
that
even
argument?
An atheist.
Is that the source of that argument?
That is
Stalin and Hitler.
Stalin, Pol Pot, you got the North Korean atheist guy, which isn't a he's
so
a
it's really a function of communism and
right. They think we're all communists, so we want a communist.
And let's be very clear, world. You know about this. Hitler wasn't a fucking atheist. There's no to call Hitler an atheist. Really, what's happening, by the way, when they do this shit, is all they're really saying is we think.
Well, no. Hang on, I have to object to that. It's not that Hitler was an atheist, but National Socialism was not responsive to religion. The idea was that if you can worship another god, that's less worship for the Führer. So National Socialism did in fact squelch religion. It may not have been that Hitler was an atheist, but National Socialism was anti-religion.
I don't think that Hitler was an atheist, but I think we can all agree that he was an optimist.
It doesn't get any better to cut the free show with a line than that. We're going to continue talking about. Hold on a minute.
What's happening?
You have your computer sound on, baby. That's
can you
why.
Hear the fucking music coming out of my car? Can you hear the fucking music coming out of my car?
There you
That's
go.
Amazing.
There
That's
you
amazing.
Go.
I'm trying to wrap the show up here and move to the next
thingy boo
to the next thing. But we're having technical problems. Is this not coming through?
Nope, not coming through the sound. It's coming through speakers. Can y'all hear that? No.
Wow, we have a technical glitch with our exit, so I'm going to have to fix that later.
Jesus,
and we're out of time.
All right, so let me wrap up the free portion of the show. That's it for the first hour of our third premium episode. We'll be making the full hour and a half available to our premium subscribers via email. I want to thank my guests, Jim Jeffries and Paul Provenza.
Thank you.
I also want to thank my co-host, Heather Henderson, and
thank
Dissident
you.
Radio. Tune in next week when one of our guests will be...
Gary Annabeta.
And our other one will be Jason...
Our.
And we're going to get him in here. We'll be talking about...
Most likely more ass rape or fisting or kid fucking and ass fisting rape fucking.
That's it for our free version of episode 65. If you'd like to hear us in the full 90-minute show, please go to ardentatheist.com/premium and subscribe. I'm your host, Emery.
And I'm Heather Henderson. Our theme music, which isn't playing right now, which we'll put in later, courtesy of the sound editor of The Aristocrats, Eric Wilson. Our special thanks to the Wall of Reason moderator, Joseph Too Hot to Handle Swam, and our digital publicist, Cameron Too Cold to Hold Winters.
You've been listening to Ardent Atheist on Dissident Radio. Ardent Atheist is a product of natural selection.